This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help to you, an encouragement to you, maybe even challenge you. And again, for those who would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website has these programs. You can re-listen to them there, even pass them on to others from there, download them to your own computer if you would like. You can also email me prayer requests from the address given in the website. And I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today I want to spend some time again on the importance of the Word of God. I've been thinking a lot about it recently. This is a very simple truth, but we know that when we read something that is written down, usually we remember it or perhaps can remember the message better than when we get an oral message. When we get an oral message, oftentimes people that who have listened to that oral message with us will have perhaps a different perception of what was said than we do, a different recollection of what was said than we do. But when we have something written down, we can go back and reread it and find out if it is possible for us to agree on what was said. And normally, if we look at what was said, we can agree on it. Now, if we have a contract, we always, in our day, write it down. It used to be we shook hands, but because of the culture in which we live, we write it down. And when it comes to our government, we have a constitution. I realize that there's different interpretations of the constitution, but it is written down. Our histories are written down, and God was wise enough to write down the message that he has for us in the Bible. Romans 10 and verse 17 has been key to these programs. It's key in my own life and in my own preaching. It says faith, that is faith in God in Christ, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there is a message for us that we have to hear, and that message is found in the Word of God. And that Word of God has been written down. Now there has been tension down through the years with regard to the ability of people to take God at His Word. Even though it is written down, they have trouble just accepting what God has said. So when we come to Genesis chapter 1 and we look at creation, we read these words, "And God said." And throughout the Bible then, we find out that the Lord has said, the Lord has spoken. And either he did or he didn't, and I believe that he did, and that those things have been recorded based on the ability of the Holy Spirit to give proper recollection to what was said. Those things have been written down for our benefit. But we come to Genesis chapter 3 and the tension between what God has said and what Satan wants us to believe is seen when Satan comes along and says to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." Now, I believe that tension is still tension that we see in the world and even in the church today. When we start studying the Bible, most people are finding books and they're finding seminaries and they're finding educated preachers to tell them how to interpret the Bible. I really find much of the preaching that I hear today very demeaning because it's assuming that I am not smart enough to take a good version of the Bible and understand what it says. I'm not smart enough to understand that when the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," it seems that I'm not smart enough to understand that myself. And so we have those people who are saying, oh, what they really meant was, and they take portions of the scripture that to me are clear on their face, and they tell us what to believe about them. And so we have different schools of thought, we have different confusion, and while there was at one time a problem with making the Bible available, the written word of God available to the common people in the common language, now, because it is available to the common person in the common language, and enough scholars have worked on the availability of the Bible so that we have confidence that it is in fact a good representation of what God has said. Now we have so many versions of the Bible that when I talk to people, they ask me, well, what Bible should I read? And I say, well, what Bible are you reading? And oftentimes they'll pull down a Bible that has perhaps, that is perhaps a version I'm not real comfortable with as a study Bible, but when I take them to the basic themes of the Bible, the themes such as loving God and loving your neighbor, and recognizing that the only solution for sin is a sacrifice that satisfies God, and so Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And when I take them to those simple verses, they're understandable on the face. I don't really need to explain them, because all I need to do is get them to read them. Now, getting them to trust in what the Bible says is another story. But that's between them and God and the Holy Spirit that actually convicts men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But what I'm trying to get across to you today is that in the United States, those of you that are listening to my voice can read. You've been given an education. You can go to the Walmart, you can go to Sam's Club, you can go to the internet, and you can get a copy of the Bible. And I suggest that you get a New King James Version. But if you'd rather get one that's more easy to understand, get a New Living Translation and read it along with the King James Version. And take responsibility for what you believe yourself. We find that God has told us that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, that's the power of the Word of God. We know that it's difficult for us to divide the soul from the spirit. We know that there's a lot of commentary on the difference between those two things. And yet, the Bible is able to divide soul and spirit. And joints and marrow have to do with the parts of the bone that are hard to divide. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Bible is like a mirror. And when you read it, it reflects what we are back to us. And it says, for example, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, is that hard to understand? I tell people that you really don't need the Bible to tell you that, because you have come short when it comes to your own standards. That's why people get discouraged, and that's why people feel oftentimes depressed, because they know that they have not lived up to their own standards. They have hurt people. They have perhaps not been able to always pay their bills, and they have not always kept their promises. And so they know that they have sinned based on their own consciences, but the Bible then reflects that and assures us that God knows all about that, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's the thoughts and intents of the heart that we see in the Bible. But then the Bible doesn't stop with the bad news. It gives us the good news that God is just. That is, He's righteous. And He's the justifier. He's the one who makes the sinner clean and makes him legally right before God when that person trusts in Christ. God is just. And the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. And so the Bible needs to be read. We don't need to indoctrinate people about what we believe about the Bible. What we need people to do is to read it and understand it for themselves. We don't take a history book and sit down with our friends and say, well, I wonder just what he meant in this particular passage when he talks about the oceans and so forth over in Hawaii. We look at it and we comment on how beautiful the prose is and how it describes something we'd like to see, but we don't analyze the writing in such a way that we question whether it's true or not. When we look at even our fictional writings, and even when we look at Shakespeare and other classics, Moby Dick, and other things that we write, we comment on what it means to us, what the storyline is, but we don't sit down and question whether we are getting the original manuscript, whether the thing was written by the original author. We don't sit down and say, well, what the author really meant was, accepting that in some cases we know there's analogies, and we may sit down and talk about how the analogy speaks to us, but we accept it for what it is and try to understand it for what it is. And it's the same way with the Bible, but Satan comes along and says, yea, hath God said. And because there's much in the Bible having to do with the relationship of man to God and his sin, with relationship to man, and with relationship to the family, and there's much that our present culture does not want to accept, we try to explain the Bible away, but you just can't explain the Bible away, because the Bible is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Again, if we were to come to 1 Peter chapter 1, we'd find out that not only are we saved by faith through the listening or hearing of the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and faith, of course, saves, but we would find out that we are born again by the Word of God. And that's what Peter says, having been born again, born from above, not of corruptible seed, that seed that dies, but of incorruptible, by seed that does not die, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And he says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And so Peter is making it clear that when we believe what God says about our sin, when we believe what God says about salvation, when we believe what God says about Christ, then and then only can we say that we are born again. By nature, we believe Satan. Yea, hath God said. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us that that's wrong, and we accept what God says, that Christ died for sinners, that gives us a new beginning with God and a new life with God, and it's the Word of God that assures us of that, and the Word of God never changes. Friend, I hope you have your confidence in the promises of the living and powerful Word of God. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened today. Bless our lesson today. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.